Greetings, Peter Messerschmidt. Thank you for being our guest this afternoon on Body Mind Spirit Radio's Radio Namaste.
Well, thank you
And
for having me.
well, you're welcome. Thank you for thanking me.
You're welcome.
Peter is actually my first in-studio live guest, a highly sensitive person, and we're talking about being artistic and being in an artistic community as a highly sensitive person. And why don't I set this up? Initially, what I'd like to do is talk about how you discovered the HSP trait, why it appealed to you. Give us a little bit of history with regard to your journey towards recognizing the trait, because you and I both don't like labels. However, sometimes labels are truly necessary. I mean, diabetics and certain people, who have medical conditions wear bracelets that say, "Hey, this is what I got going on," and it's simply a fact.
True. Well, I guess I always felt a little out of step with life or a little out of step with the people around me, ever since I was a little kid. It just seemed like the world was always extremely loud and people were kind of coarse and abrasive, and I could never quite figure out what that meant. And I spent many years studying various aspects of psychology, trying to find an answer to why don't I feel as comfortable in the world as many other people do? Why do I get so easily overwhelmed by going to a party? Yes, I enjoy it for a while, and then I just want to run away and find a quiet place.
Would you call that sensory overload?
It is, in a way, a form of sensory overload. I would almost say I've always experienced life as louder than other people do. And I used to think it was just because I was an introvert. I studied introversion versus extroversion quite a lot and determined that it really had to be something else. And,
Why?
well, introversion just makes sense from the perspective that you feel more energized when you spend time by yourself, but just because you're an introvert doesn't necessarily mean that you're overwhelmed by crowds or loud sounds or anything like that. It just means you have a preference for spending time alone. And that wasn't necessarily what this was about, whereas I like spending time alone. The overwhelmed situation and the fact that I was also overwhelmed by things like strong smells, or really, I mean, one of the great difficulties I've always had is the lights, the headlights when I'm driving at night. It feels like sun's coming into my eyes, and I've never really encountered anybody else who felt quite that way. And so I kept looking for answers and didn't really come up with anything. And so my moment of insight came one time when I was at a Borders bookstore in 1997. Actually looking at travel books, and there was a book that had been jammed in by somebody on top of the other book, so I almost couldn't get my Books on Ireland out, and I pulled out this book, and it was called The Highly Sensitive Person by Dr. Elaine Aron. And I almost just kind of dismissed it out of hand, but I opened it up and just kind of glanced at what it was about, and came to this little self-test that was in the book, which listed a whole number of things you might be highly sensitive if, and there were about 25 questions, and I kind of went through and went check, 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 and by the end of it, I'd answered yes to 25 of 28, all but three of the questions, and I realized, well, okay, so maybe there's something here. Now, I would add that at the time I was living in Texas, where everything is larger than life, and being a guy and talking about being highly sensitive, that was just like really not on my radar of reality. So I was a little skeptical about it. And I thought, well, this is probably just some other new age label that somebody's come up with to make, nervous and anxious people feel good about themselves rather than deal with their problems.
Oh, right, because we new age pioneers, we're very special. All the bubbles must come to us.
Yes. In fact, I've seen your video, and I understand all the bubbles must come to us.
The dilemma that I face, Peter, is that there are quite a few people who we're talking about Dr. Aaron's book. They tend to take that little self-test, which is now available online too.
Right.
And a lot of people, oh, I have that, and I have that, and I have that. I'm just gonna come right out and say that I think a lot of these people who think that they're highly sensitive are truly not highly sensitive. What they are neurotic as hell.
Well, I have to agree with you on that.
Which is why I stayed away from the forums. I
Right.
mean, years ago, when I discovered the trait, and I'm interrupting you, but years ago when I discovered the trait as a result of my eldest son, or my not my eldest son, my middle child, being I had a wonderful educator when he was in elementary school bring this information to me, which is how I found out about the HSP trait. And then it was this teacher, she was an expert in early education for special needs children, because James had been labeled as mildly not autistic, but he had Asperger's. And which I just, kind of moved away from. But the bottom line is that this label, this thing called HSP, the forums are filled with, in my opinion, I would say a large portion of these people on these forums and these places to gather are filled with a bunch of whiny people who are looking for excuses to not participate in their lives.
Right, and I actually agree with you about that. And it's something that I have felt has been true for as long as I've been studying the trait, which is almost 18 years now. What happens is that that little test is an excellent sorter, but unless you actually take the time to learn about the trait, it is also an easy, should we say, get out of jail free card for people who do have neuroses and maybe are suffering with degrees of shyness or some other issue in their life. And they say, oh, well, okay, so I'm an HSP, so I don't have to deal with this. And that's not what the trait is about. I mean, the thing that's really important is to understand that there is a scientific situation that underlies this acronym. It's not just, flavor of the day. We're talking about this is a actual scientific condition, and I use the term condition very, very loosely because it's an inborn trait. It's not something you become. It's not something you have. It's not something that
It's not
has,
something you develop.
you don't develop it. You don't have a diagnosis for it. It's simply that your central nervous system is wired a little bit differently so that you experience many aspects of life more intensely than most people out there.
It's in my the way I like to look at it is because I see a very large spectrum of color that is not typical for the average human, or and even for just some. As an artist myself, and we're going to get into that later, but I do see a really large spectrum of color that is not usually visible by the human eye.
Right, and that's an excellent analogy. And I can give you a few examples of what I've experienced in person at workshops and retreats for HSPs. For example, we were in a meeting room at a workshop in California, and we got about 10 minutes into the seminar, and four or five people started complaining about headaches. And there wasn't really any noticeable smell or anything, but there was a very faint whiff of carpet glue in there. And of course, it turned out that new carpet had been put in about 2 weeks earlier, and there was still a little bit of off-gassing. And again, it was this picking up very faint traces that was causing distress for a bunch of people, and they genuinely felt it. And I started feeling it after about half an hour as well. And again, most people would never have noticed, and they might have had a slight tickle between their eyebrows, but this turned into genuine headaches for several people.
Well, I always like to tell people that it's the fairy trait in the series True Blood. The first time Sookie is imbued with vampire blood, she can actually smell a moldy cracker, a crumb of mold on a cracker underneath a couch. And I have found that with my friends who I know are highly sensitive, as well as myself, there are a certain set, usually molds and fungus. And I'm a smoker. And I've been smoking, steadily on and off since I was about 18. My olfactory senses are off the charts as well. Now, portion of that is because I am partially deaf, So my other sense of have had to kick in too. Now that is also one of the things that I told myself because I eschewed this trait. Like I'm not an HSP. I can't possibly be an HSP. These people in these forums, and granted, this was back in 1999. Okay.
Right.
They just whine. All they do is whine. Oh, woe is me. Oh, woe is me. Oh, woe is me. Now,
Well, I think what we're dealing with here is there is definitely a need to separate what is the trait from what is a neurosis or
or
some other
social
social
anxiety,
anxiety or
or
shyness or something else that makes people uncomfortable. And what I think people really need to understand is that there is an underlying trait called sensory processing sensitivity that drives this thing called being a highly sensitive person, which literally is it is how you're hardwired from birth, and it's not just something in your imagination because it's been studied in animal populations as well, and approximately 15 to 20% of the population are highly sensitive.
we're
And
talking humans, not
we're
animals.
talking humans, but the proportion is about the same in several, deer, even fruit flies, rats and
Are
mice.
you telling me there's highly sensitive fruit flies?
They
They
have,
prefer bananas.
they do, but they are more cautious about approaching the bananas. So, but
My compost bin only has highly sensitive fruit flies.
yes, indeed. But one of the things that I think it's human nature that if we're suffering or in pain, we try to look for the easy way out. And I think there are people who have genuine conditions that would benefit from professional mental health help who latch on to the HSP trait and say, oh, well, this is me, and this excuses me from seeing a therapist for 6 years. I can just say, oh, I'm highly sensitive. And I think when you refer to, encountering people who are whiners or seem to be forever suffering.
Well, yeah, and that's just it. This chronic suffering that I have noticed, and it tends to happen more with women too. And let's face it, we've got it a bit harder than you guys. I'm just gonna say
Well,
it. So
I'm not going to debate that, but
I'm gonna give a little grain of salt there, ladies. But the bottom line is that there are, and this is one of the reasons that I wanted to get into the artistic end of it. I have had the opportunity to meet a couple of celebrities, David Bowie. A highly sensitive person, very highly sensitive person, very unusual. That did not disallow him from getting out in public and letting his freak flag shot fly. Madonna, when I had the opportunity to meet Madonna again, I believe a highly sensitive person. And then, as we know, as a result of Alanis Morissette, who I've also met, she, and that's a funny story. Remind me to tell you about that someday. But the fact that she stepped up and wanted to be a part of the Sensitive Project, the movie.
And I think the Sensitive movie, which was just released about a month ago, is a very important step in terms of information, insofar as it talks about the truth of what high sensitivity is and kind of distinguishes it from a number of different ailments. And now there's some things we should keep in mind. In all fairness, you can be a highly sensitive person and have the trait and also have anxieties or be, shy or something else. It's not an all or nothing situation. I mean, there's a spectrum there.
As there is with most of these types of personality traits, as a result of hardwiring, or your synapses in your neurons and the brain firing in a different way, which now I'm going to discuss myself here just briefly for a moment with regard to being an empath. A lot of people really misunderstand when they just step into the arena and they see a highly sensitive person. They think, oh, well, that's me because I'm an empath.
Right. And again, that's there are a lot of terms that get used interchangeably and incorrectly so. A lot of HSPs are empaths, and a lot of empaths are HSPs, but being an empath doesn't mean you're an HSP, and being an HSP doesn't mean you're an empath. It's like one of those Venn diagrams from back in school. There are intersects, but there are also exclusions. And you can be an empath without being an HSP, and you can be an HSP without being an empath. So one does not guarantee another.
or even mean that the other is part of the quote unquote condition, regardless of how much we don't like the word. It is a condition.
It is a condition. It's a state of being, there are some other lookalikes. Asperger's is often confused with being a highly sensitive person. And again, there are HSPs who do have Asperger's, but there are also people who have Asperger's who are not anywhere close to being HSPs.
Right. The trait does mimic quite a few different things, which is why Elaine Aron, Dr. Aron, finally sat down and was able to pioneer, like, well, wait a minute, I've got this person with here and this person here and so forth and so on. But there's this underlying factor that there's a definite thread that needed to be woven to suddenly now we've got this thing called highly sensitive person. How is it possible that we have all these people that, just because you hate overhead lighting or just because you don't like the sound of paper crinkling or whatever does not make you a highly sensitive
No,
person.
it does not. I mean, what is to me the most important aspect of Dr. Aron's work is that it does give a significant number of people who thought they had psychological issues a reason to not worry about fixing themselves anymore because they can't help the fact that sounds are extremely loud for them. They can't help the fact that they get supremely overwhelmed in crowds. And so by understanding the trait, they can take themselves out of the therapeutic treadmill and go on to instead saying, okay, I have this is how I'm wired, this is how my life is now. How can I adjust the way I live my life to where I can still go out and I can go to a party, but I can be aware that when I've been there for an hour, I need to make my excuses and go home. So you go and enjoy it while you can, but you don't go and try to hammer it into yourself that you should be like other people, stay for 3 hours and then crash for 4 days. So
Again, yeah, I'd want to let's talk about that too. Let's talk about the energy drain that happens as a result of having to stay on high alert. I know for me, when I, you and I, we talk about having festival brain, or when we are in the process of having to take a trip into Seattle or attend an event. I mean, we know that it's going to be a 24-hour recovery period. Because it's a matter of how do you explain that? I mean, what do you call that? I know what I call it, but I'd rather hear it from you.
I mean, the way I look at it is you think of, I mean, an example I think a lot of people can relate to are computers. We have very high-powered computers that can crunch huge volumes of data in a short period of time, but they also run supremely hot and they have to have all kinds of fans to cool them down. And some of them have to be switched off after a few hours because even though they've been able to take all this input and do something with it, they now need to cool down. Then there are others, they move more slowly and they can keep going for days and days and days. And I think it's the same thing, really, if you apply it to people. The highly sensitive person goes into a situation, let's say, with a crowd of people, and you may have experienced this yourself. While you're standing there talking to somebody, you're also hearing five other conversations around you and probably picking up most of what's going on with the energy in the room.
Well, as a deaf person, for me, but I'm the exception to the rule. What I'm seeing is the leaf falling outside the window, and the colors and the little shiny droplets of water, and it's not so much that I'm hearing other conversations because it sounds like oatmeal in my head. What I'm also picking up on are the thoughts and the feelings as a psychic and as a tele I'm telepathic, and it just again, I believe that these are also traits too. With regard, I think science is going to be able to prove eventually that people who have these abilities, hopefully down the line, that will happen. So yes, we do send we do see that the door is red. We do see the cracks in the wall. We do see that, for example, I keep looking at you and your glasses are a little bit crooked. And it's not because I'm a control freak. And see, that's the other thing. These things, oh, you're just a control freak. Oh, you just want things to be perfect. You just my ability to edit and my ability to look at things, I have decided to make this part of my blessing and not my curse.
And I think that is really a very important part of making peace with being a highly sensitive person. I mean, the first thing to keep in mind is the fact that this is a trait, not a condition, not an illness, not a syndrome. It is an inborn trait. There isn't anything you can do about it. You can't fix it. Part two, it's neutral. It is in and of itself neither good nor bad. You can make it a blessing or you can fall into suffering and make it a curse, but it is ultimately a neutral trait. The fact that you can smell everything and thereby save your kids because you detected that gas leak with your nose before anybody else could, that's great.
Or become a world-class wine
Or you
taster.
can become a world-class wine taster, but at the same time, we go back to the glue off-gassing from the carpet giving you a headache. So you win in one end and you lose in another. So
And that's life, though.
it all becomes a wash. Yes, and that
What I
is life.
find, though, again, going back to the whiny, the oh, woe is me, is that a lot of people really just, in my experience, which is why I stay away from a lot of the forums and what have you. Is because there tends to be a, I'm a highly sensitive person. Oh, whoa, nothing's ever going to change. EMFs affect me and this affects me and I can't walk into this building because they just did this. And fucking get over it. All right. It's life. Why don't
Well,
we stop complaining? And I said the fuck word. I did. But, you know, stop complaining and understand that we are all experiencing this too. How do we deal with this best of all? And I've watched you now for several years, and that's when I had my turnaround moment. I'm like, okay, there are HSPs out there that don't spend their entire days clipping their fingernails complaining.
I think, I mean, there's several thoughts come to mind now. Here's another aspect of being an HSP. I now have 17 bookmarks about things that I want to comment on here. One of the things we touched on before, you said because you're a psychic, you also pick up all these energies. And this is another one of the lookalikes that get thrown around and interchanged with being a highly sensitive person. And that's fairly old because being a sensitive is something that has been used to describe people who can see spirits and have ability to see things that are outside the visible spectrum. And that's been used for a long time, but it is not the same thing as being an HSP. Some HSPs,
Are psychic.
they are psychic, and many are not. Another thing, and I just kind of want to bring this up when we get to the issue of people who are suffering, is this thing that I run into quite a bit, which is people who say they have become an HSP. And that is always a very strong indication that you are actually not an HSP. And it's important to bring this up because there are people who are suffering for whom there is genuine healing available. There is certain forms of complex PTSD that results from protracted abusive situations that cause people to develop a form of, should we call it, hypervigilance, where they're totally aware of their environment in a sort of nervous way at all times.
Exactly.
That looks very much like certain aspects of being an HSP. But again, these are not the same thing. One is a condition that happened as a result of trauma, whereas being an HSP, in the sense that Dr. Aaron describes it, is a genetic trait.
And I'm going to step in and say, having had an incredibly abusive childhood, I was able to step back and take a look at, is this post-traumatic stress disorder? Am I so hypervigilant because I had to deal with an alcoholic mother? I had to deal with you know, abusive people in my life. I'm not going to name names. This is a public show, but the bottom line is that once I realized I'm pretty fucking happy. And I thought to myself, you know, I why are you so happy? Shouldn't you be suffering? I thought to myself, actually, I'm not. And I can't tell you how many people and therapists and ministers that I've sat in front of and I've sort of given the litany of my life. I'm like, well, what's wrong with you? Well, absolutely nothing. Well, why aren't you suffering from this ism or that ish?
Right.
So, which led me back down to, again, I must be a highly sensitive person because I don't have the post-traumatic stress disorder earmarks of certain kinds of behaviors, the other kinds of behaviors that sort of slid into those empty spaces are really indicative of being a highly sensitive person.
And again, it is important to keep firmly in mind that as an HSP, you can have all these different ailments,
Absolutely, absolutely.
but one is not the other.
And
They're
it
not the
doesn't
same.
preclude it.
And it doesn't
And
preclude
it
it.
doesn't preclude it. I
Right,
mean, this is,
absolutely.
you know, your child is born, they either are or not a highly sensitive person. And
Right.
it's incredibly important. Had I known, and in fact, I did know about James. They said, oh, he's autistic. He's this, he's that. What he is a brilliant, funny, healthy adult who is also highly sensitive, very imaginative, very funny, brilliant. There are some underlying elements of Asperger's, very low level, but I think part of that has to do with some social anxiety as well. So there you go.
Yeah.
But James was absolutely different from Tori and Jesse.
Yeah. Now, one of the things I do want to return to here, you brought up a number of times that you were put off by the fact that you would go to internet forums for HSPs and you would be put off by the rather perverse, pervasive tone of whining that sometimes goes there.
Well, it wasn't, and I don't want to upset people because I know that there's going to be quite a few people who do listen to this. And the bot, and this was years ago, and I have not been out there for years simply for that reason. And if I need to know something, I have Peter Messerschmidt here at my fingertips. Thank you very
Well,
much. But before I forget, because actually we're going to go to break here in just a moment.
okay.
So, but before that, I wanted to say that it seemed to me that people were looking for an excuse to whine. I would rather, that's why Tribe Magazine, and I wish they'd bring that back, was really an important part of that because this was a group of artistic, creative, intelligent people who had stepped it up and said, you know, let's present the picture of joy and growth and healing, even you know, as Effie Wilde said, you know, bliss among the ruins. When we get back, we're going to talk about art. We're going to talk about HSPs in art, and we are speaking with Peter Messerschmidt. He is a highly sensitive person. He's had the longest standing blog for highly sensitive people so far. I don't think that's going to change.
Probably not. Plan to
And
keep going.
we'll be right back.
Radio Namaste is brought to you in part by Alchemy Stones. Alchemy Stones are completely hand-painted beach stones that combine the blend of art, sacred geometry, and metaphysics, making them not only healing tools and personal talismans, but also unique gifts for almost any occasion. What makes Alchemy Stones so special? Humans have been collecting and keeping rocks for luck as talismans and mystical power objects for millennia. They've also been painting and decorating on stone for almost as long. The intricate patterns and colors on alchemy stones are inspired by nature, sacred geometry, and tribal designs, and are carefully matched to the shape and size of each beach-gathered stone to create a beautiful high-vibration work of art. But don't take my word for it. To learn more about alchemy stones and to choose your own personal stone, visit our website at www.alchemystone.com. Alchemy Stones, a unique high consciousness gift for any occasion. Again, visit us at www.alchemystone.com.
Radio Namaste will occasionally present what we like to call the Father Mulcahy Award to those who have displayed thoughtlessness, a lack of mindfulness, or just downright selfishness. With the official Karma Violation Ticket Book, you can let friends, family, coworkers, even celebrities and politicians know they did a no-no. Just fill out a citation, slip it under a door, slap it on a windshield, or mail it. Express your feelings and opinions and help set the record straight. Join the Karma Police at thegoodkarmafactory.com and uphold the laws of the universe. Hashtag Karma Police in a tweet to at Radio Namaste, and you'll be in a drawing to win your own Karma Violation Ticket Book. Thanks to the awesome people at thegoodkarmafactory.com. And we're back. Thanks, Peter.
Well, I just wanted to kick in one last thing before we move on to the creative and artistic, which is to keep in mind, in all fairness to the forums, people who are should we say, in a less than perfect mental state, are more likely to go online and look for answers than people who are out there happy with life and
I
engaged.
resent
Well, go right
that.
ahead and resent.
Google is my doctor. I can
Google
find
is your.
Google that will support any of my hypothesis. Yes and
Okay.
no.
But just sort of in general, if for those who are actively engaged and perhaps in a more solid emotional state, they're probably spending less time on the internet. Or if they are on the internet, they're not looking for something called "What is wrong with me because I get my feelings hurt all the time." They're looking for research on travel to Ireland, or because they're technical writers or artists. But
I Google that all the time. What is wrong with me? I have my feelings hurt all the time. And that's the other thing. Highly sensitive people don't necessarily get their feelings hurt all the time either.
no, that is also
I get my
true.
feelings hurt all the time because I know I'm right about everything. When
Well, then
people.
there's a, you know,
Indeed
that's a cross you have to bear. I mean, that's.
it is. But I was right. So let's talk about the highly sensitive people, person and people. Who take their gifts and their abilities and they turn them into beautiful pieces of art, beautiful pieces of poetry, literature, tangible textiles and things like of this nature. They step it up and they use their ability of I guess for me, when I look at it and I see myself when I'm creating certain elements of the little treasure bags for alchemy stones, say this, so to speak. It's to me that the being able to put something together and really look at it and make it perfect to myself so that I can hand it out is, I think, a gift.
It is, and you know, one of the basic aspects of being a highly sensitive person is creativity, and creativity comes in many, many different forms. I believe this tendency for HSPs to be very creative people comes from the fact that attention to detail is a core trait, awareness of the environment is a core trait, the fact that we are deeply moved by beauty, by whether it's nature, sunsets, music, anything like that, makes us want to get more down inside. I know that's at least true for me. I go out and I see something amazing out in nature, whether it's leaves or a view or beaches or rocks or something, and I want to get there with my camera and get right down inside it and see every aspect of how that was put together and why it got to be the way it is.
It was a highly sensitive person that developed the macro lens.
I think you're absolutely right about that. Yes, I'm
I
sure it
want to
was.
see every little hair on the stem of a rose petal.
Right. And I think the fact that HSPs feel strongly, they're moved by this beauty, and whether it's a desire to recreate it or to improve it or to change it or transmutate
Share
it
it.
or just to
Share their
share it,
vision of it. I
share
know
it.
for me sometimes it's just wanting to share this vision of this sunset.
Right, you know, which is why, I mean, I can look at things like, you know, what do I post on my own Facebook stream? You know, it's pictures of things of beauty that I see out there. You know,
And then, of course, the sarcastic things that your wife puts out there. What's
and
about, what's that?
well, then there's that.
Why
But
do you let her do that?
well,
I'm really offended by that.
she's funny, and she's a highly sensitive person too.
It's a little offensive.
Yeah,
She's kind of sarcastic.
she is, but that's kind of cool though.
Okay, well,
It brings perspective.
it truly does, I
It
guess.
does.
I'm gonna give you that one.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Now, this isn't to say that all artists are highly sensitive people.
It's not. And again, going back to some of the retreats and workshops I've been to where groups of HSPs sit around and discuss creativity, some wrestle consistently with, well, I just don't feel very creative. I'm not particularly artistic. You know, I can't paint. I can't sing. I can't disc. I can't that. And creativity, I think we have to kind of expand what creativity means and get away from just thinking visual or performing arts. You know, one man that I sat with for quite a long time and we talked about things, he developed a brilliant piece of software that he used just for himself to trade on the stock market, and he was actually making his living as a result of having looked at the patterns and done his pattern recognition with it. And he created this piece of software that allowed him to basically spend an hour a day tinkering with the stock market and otherwise reading and walking around outside and being in nature and
I know
relaxing.
this highly sensitive person, this gentleman who he started like walking on the beach and picking up pieces of sea glass. One day he saw, he brought them home, collected them, separated them because highly sensitive people are kind of weird like that. They like to separate things into their little colors and stuff, which isn't to say, people, that your child who's sitting there who's separating the peas from the carrots is a highly sensitive person. That might be a good indication, but there you go. But anyway, so this guy, he collects sea glass. But
Yes.
because he can see the different colors and actually decided to turn that into a research project, he sells it now.
Well, and again, let's expand the definition of what creativity is. Creativity can be your entire life and how you choose to live it. And for me personally, the single most important thing about learning, oh, I'm a highly sensitive person, was that it started me down a road of changing how I lived my life. Getting away from trying to be something in a corporate America type of situation, which I really, I was making good money, but I was really not
Miserable.
happy. I was quite miserable. I didn't fit in. I was always the oddball. And whereas I could do the work, it in no way made me feel particularly good about myself or what I was
Well, you're
giving
just
to the
weird
world.
anyways.
Well, I am weird anyways. I mean,
I mean, you'd
I'm
be an
well aware of
oddball no
that.
matter what, even if you weren't a highly sensitive
But
person.
that said, I decided I needed to reinvent my life, and I know that's an overused cliche, but I decided, well, what can I do to change my lifestyle as well as what I do to where what I do for a living makes me happy? And I think that's an important thing for HSPs because they wrestle a lot with finding work satisfaction, part of which is a result of another key aspect of the trait, which is that many HSPs tend to be rather idealistic. We believe that there's a way to make the world a better place, that it's not, we're not just all cynical and this is the way it has to be and this is the way it's always been, so there's no way to change it. Let's just keep going the way we are and to hell with everything, pass another beer. HSPs tend to believe we can make the world more beautiful, we can make it better, we can make people happier. And so,
They're very invested in the beauty of their surroundings. They're
yes.
very my studio office here is not a good example of that. Stop looking around. I'm a little
I
offended
wasn't.
by the your I think you were judging me.
Well,
Stop judging me.
I will stop judging
I'm
you
a
then.
highly sensitive person and my feelings get hurt.
And I'm judging you.
That creative aspect of it, though, is also a way I believe that many of the HSP community come together and have a type of spiritual experience. The spiritual end of, I'm going to say the word,
Yes,
HSPness.
you just said
This,
HS penis on the
yes, I
radio.
did. I did. It's really hard to get away from that. And the cliches keep going. And the, no, not cliche, that's the wrong word. The puns continue forth. The bottom line is the spiritual aspect of an HSP tends to be much deeper and more, in my experience, authentic with regard to expressing that spirituality, not feeling it. Okay, this isn't about the Holy Spirit. We're not going to go down that path, but there's a very huge difference between being religious and being spiritual. And in my experience, a lot of HSPs are mostly spiritual.
They are mostly spiritual. I mean, I have met quite a few HSPs who are very religious in the traditional sense, but they also have a, aside from that, they have a spiritual angle to their lives that you wouldn't necessarily find for most people who are followers, say, of conventional Christianity in some way.
It's not as orthodox.
It's not as orthodox. It draws more on possibilities than it does on just straight dogma.
And there's that idealist.
And then there's that idealist that we can make things better.
So really what you're saying, Peter Messerschmidt, is that HSPs will save the world.
What I'm saying is they definitely would like to, and they aspire to by how they carry on in the world. Let's do right. Basically, as to use one of your phrases, don't be shitty. Go out and do the right thing, choose to do the right
Well, I
thing.
didn't say that. Buddha did.
Well, okay.
I mean,
Well,
he just came right out and he was just like, "Hey, man, stop being crappy to each other." But so God as an HSP, HSD,
HSD,
highly
HSDA.
sensitive deity.
Yes, definitely. That's good.
We could have the thumbs up Jesus. He could be our new, well, actually no, because that would upset some other people. So how about just a thumbs up deity who's a HSP?
Thumbs up deity is fine. Yeah, I'm all about that.
What would HSP do?
What would HSP do?
We should get
The right
t-shirts.
thing. We should get t-shirts for sure. For sure. Do the right thing.
But let's talk about your personal artistic journey because I'm a little vested in that because I watched you. And by the way, now that we're at the end of the show, I can probably reveal, I mean, we've got a few minutes left here, but I can reveal that I am your beautiful wife.
Yes, you are my beautiful wife,
I'm the one that posts all the sarcastic things,
we
but
are an HSP couple, and
which is a rare thing.
which is a rare and beautiful thing.
Yeah, it truly is. Especially because when I first found out that you were involved with HSPs, that was almost a deal breaker
Yeah,
for
you
me.
almost ran the opposite direction.
I was
Yeah.
just like, after all these years, Peter, I mean, when I met you when I was 8 years old, and by the way, our anniversary is tomorrow. Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary,
Yeah, this is going to
yes.
be my anniversary present to you. I'm going to put you on the air.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you. Thank you. I always wanted to be on the radio.
Well, now you
That's,
are.
now I am.
And occasionally you're also Zen Master Ted. So we have
Yes.
we
We cover all
HSPs
bases
wear
around.
many hats.
We're very creative about our identities as well.
Yes, we like hats.
We like hats. Hats are good.
But I watched you for years and you would always sign your letters to me back when we were in college and onward with these little doodles. They looked like
Yes.
little snowflakes and they were amazing. And when we first started dating, of course, we were poor as heck, a lot more poor than we are today, even though, buy our stuff. No.
Yeah, please buy our stuff.
we need the money to talk more about HSPs. But so I really gave you a step up and I'm going to give myself a cookie for that because I believed in you
Yeah.
and I believed in what you did and I saw what joy it brought to you. So I'm going to let you take it from here.
Well, I mean, it's kind of interesting because I was a little bit in the same boat as the fellow with the stock market program and thinking I wasn't all that creative. And I accepted that, okay, so maybe my expression of creativity was being a writer because I've been a writer pretty much all my life. And I never thought of myself as actually creating art of any kind. And then, you encouraged me at some point because you really like my little doodles, which I've been doing since I
Well,
was a
they were
kid.
magical. They are magical. They'd reminded me of a lot of the designs that I'd seen on temple walls and in old engravings and paintings of a spiritual nature.
Right, and they started off simply as coloring in the squares on graph paper when I was about 5, 6 years old, and I still have one bookmark left of what I gave to my mom when I was a little kid. They took a new turn when, as a teenager, we lived in the south of Spain, and there were various Moorish ruins and Moroccan-influenced architecture around there that had very detailed geometric patterns as done as tile work. And I looked at that and I started to make more and more complex designs. And I'll admit at this point that a lot of this was done while I was trying not to fall asleep during school classes. And I would draw these, what I now know to be similar to mandalas, on pieces of
I
paper
think they
just.
call them Zen doodles.
And Zen doodles
Yeah, it was
is
a, yeah.
another
But what you
phrase.
do is not a Zen doodle.
What I do is not a Zen doodle. What I do is a geometric pattern that is, as I look at it from where I sit now, it was inspired by those Moorish designs. It was inspired by sacred geometry. It was.
And also your Danish heritage. When I started researching some of the designs, because they looked very, very familiar to me, and especially the ones that reminded me of centipedes. when I realized that tribal chieftains used those to mark pathways and how many people they had under them and moments that were memorable, it began really coming together to me because as a Jungian analyst, symbols and archetypes and the synchronistic of how we all tend to, a square is always going to be a square. Circle is always going to be a circle, and a triangle will always be a triangle, therefore, and so forth and so on. So you take the simple archetype and you put it together, and then you've got sacred alchemy, which is what I believe you do.
Well, I believe you're right. I mean, what I do, what has developed into what is now called alchemy stones, started off as these doodles that were a mixture of backgrounds, and now they have become very much for me, it's like a meditation I do, and it is part of what always fascinated me was that you can draw circles and curves with straight lines. If you just have little tiny straight lines and you angle them very slightly, then it can be turned into a circle.
It's just stunning, though, the amount of patience that you have, and I get to witness this. And I think it would be very interesting, and I may do this in the future, and I probably will, but I will photograph you at some point when you don't know that I'm there. And the amount you are so focused, and you really go into that, especially, well, for example, the stone that we have. By the way, when we say fuck here, it's PHUCK. It's a very high vibration fuck. We don't mean to offend, but it is, you know, it is part of the radio namaste trademark and what we do. And again, we apologize for any offense taken, but it's not going to stop. So, in any case, we have the fuck cancer stone as a result of me having three friends. Acharya DM Murdoch was diagnosed with cancer. My very, very dear friend, Julie Buchanan, who is an HSP. By the way, when an HSP finally discovers what they are and it's bona fide and authentic, the sense of relief that happens in their lives is profound.
It is enormous. And, I will go back and use myself as an example. I went through several phases of learning, starting with first learning about it for the first few weeks, being very excited, then a period of skepticism. Well, maybe this is just some more new age hoo-hoo.
Yeah.
And then eventually embracing it. Wow, this is real,
This is
and
real,
I
yeah.
can change my life for the better by truly understanding how this affects my daily patterns, my daily living.
My dilemma was that I became very proprietary with it because, like I said, there were all these people, oh, woe is me, woe is me. I'm like, no, stop it. Stop using this as your crutch to not have a life. So, anyways, I'm going to go back to the fuck cancer stone with the alchemy stones. So we had Acharya, DM Murdoch, we had Julie Buchanan, and then my co-founder and my co-founder, co-facilitator who was on the White Light Express, Dina. You know, brain cancer, breast cancer, and you know, cancer affecting, well, Acharya also had breast cancer, but it began going through her entire body. But all three of these women are now coming out the other end months and months later, stronger and healthier. And we know that Julie is has gone into remission. Her body is cancer free. And then Dina, in fact, her platelet count is getting higher and better. So we've got some sincere healing happening here. Going back to the fuck cancer stone that we have on the White Light Express healing altar, this last healing grid that we had, I literally watched entities come in and out. It was this ongoing a few hours every day while the grid was active, touching the stone. Now, some people are going to listen to that and say these people are schizadoodle. And I absolutely embrace that because 100%, I'm clinically insane. You hear voices, you see visions, you're hallucinating. And you believe you're here to save the universe, you're a bona fide whack job. So I embrace that. So please don't even bother writing me the letter. The bottom line is that I have watched you create some stones for people, protection stones for our dog, Daisy.
Well, I mean, I don't know where, let's put it in a basket and call it the otherworldly part comes. I don't know where it comes from. I know I can sit down and start working on a pattern, and it is, as I said, a meditation for me. I just kind of go into a very light trance state, and I start drawing little tiny lines and dots and things, and a pattern forms on a stone.
Okay, that's just crazy.
It is absolutely insane. And if while I'm doing that, let's talk about we have a neurotic dog, we want the dog to calm down. While I'm doing that, I'm choosing colors and patterns, and I'm saying to myself, or thinking to myself in a very vague sort of way, what does calm dog look like while I'm doing this? Or if we go back to the cancer example, what does cancer leaving somebody's body look like while I'm doing
Cancer
this?
being destroyed, you know,
Yeah.
it was literally this cancer cell is being rehabilitated and taken out of this third dimensional reality and taken someplace where it can be, because energy, frequency, vibration. Here we
Yeah.
go again. I
Mm-hmm.
always say this, and this is what I know that you're channeling. I watch you. I watch your intention. And when you set intention, and we had that little experiment that we did with the chakra stones,
Right.
because when I discovered that, and I mean, I don't know why, I mean, it's common knowledge among a lot of people, but chakras, there are male chakras and female chakras.
Yes.
And male and female chakras look and feel differently.
Right.
And so you, when we started talking about creating the chakra sets for Reiki masters and for masseuse artists and people who do a lot of auric cleansing and healing and even personally, you know, you said, well, that's very interesting here. And you began creating with the intention. You sat down and you didn't tell me. Well, you didn't tell me because I was the only one there, but you created female chakra stones and male chakra stones. And you didn't tell me which was which, and you just set them down in front of me, and I was able to see. And it's a very subtle difference. It's quite beautiful. So, at the fair this last weekend, when we were handing out the chakra stones and talking to people, you know, how does this one feel? Well, this one feels male. Well, that one feels female. Bingo!
Right,
Every single
right.
time. So there is something that is valid and tangible with that, and it's not just oh this one. And remember, a root chakra stone is red.
Yes.
And you know the crown chakra stone is violet. So it's not because oh this one has all these pretty feminine colors or this one has all these pretty feminine flowers. No,
No,
there is a
no. It,
tangible and real
it,
difference.
it's an energetic difference, and I mean, we can take the woo-woo as part of it as far or as not far as we want to. I mean, the thing is,
I'm going to call it science. We're
science,
going to move out of this woo-woo. It woo-woo. There is woo-woo, but then there's metaphysics, and
there.
it will be a talent, a tangible, and real. When you walk into a male locker room and you don't know what locker room, aside from looking at the toilets, there is a smell, there's an energy, there's a vibration. It's a locker room, but this one belongs to the guys. This one belongs to the girls.
Let's strip it down to its very simplest form. Even the most grounded butch football player type has walked into a room and met somebody and said, I'm getting a bad vibe from that dude. And that is, again, that is energy, frequency, and
There you
vibration right
go.
there. And I mean, all of us have experienced at some point, I'm getting a bad vibe from this situation or from this person. And then
I'm
if,
getting a bad vibe that the show's about ready to
well, then there's that vibe. We're
end.
just going to have to deal with that too.
Well, we'll have to have you come back.
Well, thank you.
We'll have to have you come back. And when you first started doing alchemy stones, how did that, I mean, when did you become validated? Let me put it that way.
I mean, I was validated initially by the fact that you suggested to me that I should try painting on stones, and then by the fact that you really liked the stones I made.
Oh, thank you.
And then I became validated by the fact that I would take pictures of them and put them out on the web, and people would say, these are awesome.
And then they were like, I want one.
And then people, in the beginning, I just made them and we give them away to people. And then
That ended when we actually had a bridal party.
we had a bridal party and like, can you make me some
Can we make
stones?
74 of
Yeah,
these?
can you make 70 or over 70? I don't remember how many it was of these. And it's like, okay, that's going to take a really long time. I'd like
Yeah.
to be somehow compensated for my work here because
And
that's.
that again also I realize is an HSP trait. We tend to want to give away our gifts.
We do,
We struggle with that whole identifying with the material side of why are you charging for this? Because there's this whole spiritual aspect of it of you know, well, you shouldn't pray, you pay to pray. But if I have to walk for miles on the beach, which is fun, by the way,
Yeah.
we're not going to tell people. No. Oh, it's such hard work. But we carry these rocks back with us, and you do mostly. I don't know what this we is. Occasionally I'm there. But it is work. It is work, but it is God. And here's where I get on my little soapbox. It's God's work. You're creating a spiritual endeavor and you're doing God's work.
Yes, absolutely. And
You should be compensated.
I think there is, at the very least, there needs to always be an energy exchange. I mean, it's like you're often you've had a practice of counseling where you often would offer services for free to people, but again, it's nice
I
to be
stopped
recognized.
doing that though because I realized that people really value what they pay for.
People do value what they pay
And
for.
there will always be the people out there who will have something to say with regard to why can't I get this for free?
And
Well, I'll tell you what, when I walk into Safeway or Vons, I can't pay them with my karma coins, and I'm going to make
no,
that video.
yeah,
Peter, it has been awesome having you here,
it's been awesome to be
and
here.
I know where you are. I can find you.
Yes, 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 you can.
In the meantime, people can find you where?
Well, if they want to look at the creative side, which is alchemy stones, they can go to the website www.alchemystone.com. It's not alchemy stones, it's alchemystone.com. Or if they want to keep up with the HSP news and views and my opinions about that whole thing, then they can go.
Everybody's entitled to your opinion.
Everybody's entitled to my opinion. They can go to www.hspnotes.com.
That is with an S.
That is with an S, notes. And they can find lots of information and, oh, coming up on 13 years worth of blog posts and article links and
Why don't
website
you write a
links.
book?
That's what people keep saying. I should write a
You
book.
know what's going to happen as soon as you write your book and you
That
are?
they'll want to know where the second
Yeah.
book
Why don't
is.
you where why don't you write another book?
Yeah.
Why don't you buy my alchemy stone table book, coffee table book?
Yeah, and that'll
All
surprise everybody when that's the first book I publish.
right. Have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful afternoon, rest of your evening, and come back in 2 weeks and listen to more of Radio Namaste on Body Mind Spirit Radio.
Thank you.